Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Y'all, Poodle just said he has a good memory.
I do!
What is the name of the last four guys you've slept with?
Now, I can't remember. I never knew any of their names.
Hello, this is Captain Poodle speaking. Are you ready to find love?
Yes, ahoy, matey.
Love. Exciting and new. Go online. They're catfishing you.
Shocker.
Fiance.
Soon you'll be flying to parts unknown.
90-day Beyonce.
Marrying someone you've only met on your phone.
Be they French or Chinese, a brand new K-1 visa's the key.
Ooh, the key to what, Poodle?
To love.
It's reality, yes, let's love.
That's fair. That's true.
But you know what? I could tell you exactly what all four of their dicks looked like.
Y'all, welcome to Reality Gaze.
Welcome to Reality Gaze. This is our second episode with our new name,
Reality Gaze.
Reality Gaze.
We like it. It
rolls
feels
off
nice.
The tongue. Feels good in my mouth.
This does feel nice. I didn't want to say my mouth, but sure.
Wow, I haven't had sex in a while. That's
it's
why it
lot.
Sounds like that.
Y'all, again,
we're dealing with COVID. Like, y'all, we're dealing with a COVID palooza here in Los Angeles.
It's very
bad
in
for
Los
us.
Angeles.
I couldn't even be on Grindr right now because I just look at everyone and think I was going to get COVID from them.
I'm not. Yeah, we're not even going to the grocery stores.
Yeah,
we're ordering. You're not going, are you? Better be.
No,
Instacarting.
I'm not. I'm Instacarting.
Yeah, we've got to do all.
So, y'all, if you have a quick moment, pray for all of our hospitals and our ambulance drivers and
yes.
all of our first responders in LA. We're having a really hard time. They're having to kind of ration care like right now.
Yeah,
today
they
was
just
the first
did,
day.
Yeah, if you they pick you up in an ambulance and you're close to death, they're not going to take you to the hospital.
So think about that. Think about
hard.
That. Hope you had fun on New Year's Eve.
Okay, maybe let's not do that. Because some people are trying. A lot of people are trying. Anyway, so let's see. What else do we... Oh, we want to thank... Obviously, y'all voted on the name, and Reality Gaze was the winner, actually.
Yep.
So y'all chose that name as well. It is the name Poodle and I liked. And then... So Eliza is the winner of that, but also...
Eliza Gilliam.
Kyle.
Kyle Swerdlow.
It's Kyle Swerdlow. We decided, in looking at this, and Jackie actually pointed out... Eliza was first with Reality Gaze. However, Kyle was the first with The Reality Gaze.
The Reality Gaze, which is not the name we went with, but it's so close.
It's so close.
We wanted to give him the same prize.
And people are already, some of the people are already calling it The Reality Gaze.
So he gets the same prize. So we actually had two winners. Will Pay, even though I didn't want to, this motherfucker made me.
I told him he had
made
to.
We had to.
So we're paying for both of their airfare to fly to a show of their choice.
I put on my
in the United States.
Green accountant's hat and go and click at a calculator on the screen.
We also, they both, they each.
I guess
get,
I won't eat that week.
They each get two VIP tickets as well to the show.
Yes, but only, airfare for only one. That's what we agreed on.
Yes. I'm trying to get Poodle to pay for a hotel, but he won't do it.
Never. You know what you can do?
Depends on where they go. If they go to a live show in L.A., we can't pay for your hotel. Or New York City.
There are lovely hostels available for you.
If we do a show in like...
you can stay in a room with 25 other people.
When we do a show in Branson, the rooms are cheap. We'll
days
pay 50
in.
Bucks. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't want to go there.
Because if they get killed, you don't want it to be our fault.
No,
we pick the room.
I don't be responsible for giving anyone bed bugs in a shitty motel we pay for.
That's fair. You know what? Book your own room. Anyway,
that's what I don't. I don't want to involve myself in people's lives more than I have to.
Eliza and
no first class. You're going coach. Don't even think about it.
God. Eliza and Kyle, thank you, y'all. Thanks for your response. We're excited. Here's to. Moving on, you shouldn't have to change anything. If you're listening to this right now, you found it. The Patreon should be the same too. Your link, your RSS link, everything as of now is the same. If this changes, we will message you,
and
patrons.
If you're following us, all of a sudden I'm selling my father. If you're following us on social media, that shouldn't change either. You should still be following us.
And just so you know, if you want to follow us, our website is Reality Gaze Podcast. Our Instagram is Reality Gaze Podcast. Our Twitter is Reality Gaze Pod.
Because Twitter doesn't let us do the longer titles.
You can do the Sissy Squad, or you can do our private Facebook, or not our public Facebook group, which is Reality Gaze Podcast.
So all that is available for you.
All of that.
We are reality and we are gay.
You know what? That's true. That's very, very true. All right.
Any other announcements?
Oh, God. I hope
not. I don't know. Y'all, this rebrand is about killed us.
It's been a lot of work and time and again.
Fuck you, Discovery.
We want to thank a lot of people that came together and helped us, and we just could not have done it without Jackie Devlin.
Our lawyers, our therapists.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Our acupuncturists.
Yes.
Everything.
All of us.
It was a lot. So,
all of us.
Anyway.
And thank you to everybody who voted and everyone who submitted.
Exactly.
We would not have this name without you guys.
Yeah.
So
there you go.
And if you hate the name, you know,
it's like
an election.
It's like Poodle.
Yeah. Remember 2016? A lot of us didn't like that.
Got to vote. But also, too, if you don't like it, Poodle doesn't like the name of your kid. You don't like the name of our show. So what? Everybody's friends. Let's move on.
I don't like Porter. I don't like your son Porter's name.
I don't mind that name.
Eh, it's all basic. Come at me with your child named Porter. I'm sure you love him.
I like that name. Oh, fine. Okay.
I have a nephew named Porter.
You do?
Yes.
Did you tell your aunt that you don't like the child's name?
Not to her face. This is the same aunt, however. She's actually my second cousin. Porter's my second cousin. This is the same aunt who we were over at her house for Christmas, and she started vacuuming.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mother Poodle still hasn't forgotten
that. Talks about it every Christmas. Yeah. I remember thinking, even as a child, that was a little bit untoward.
What did your mother do when she started vacuuming while y'all were there?
No, we heard the sound, and we all kind of was like, what's going on? And we walk in there, and Aunt Joan is vacuuming. No, she wanted us to get the fuck out of her house.
Wow.
That's what you do when you want someone to get the fuck out of your
house. No, it is. It's pretty clear. I was just making sure she didn't spill something on the floor and clean it up.
No, no, no. This was a clear sign.
Wow.
This was a clear sign.
Wow.
She had all this new white carpet put in.
Boy, they really could make Hillbilly Elegy too with your family, couldn't they?
But it's all weird passive aggressive shit. We heard the vacuum. We're like, what is that? And one of my aunts went, well, Joan, what are you doing? And she's like, I'm just, just cleaning up a little bit. And we're like, okay, I guess that's a signal.
Boy, I bet your mother talked about that for 6 months.
Say 15 years. My mother loves a good family meltdown. especially when it's due to my father's family.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. That's
hers. She won't talk about.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because she's trying to make her make his family small. That's their game. I know.
How many years have they been married?
Over 50. I think I've told this before, but my mother and I were once watching the show on Oxygen called Snapped, which is one of her favorite shows. She has it. In fact, I showed her how to record it. She didn't know how to DVR on her Dish network.
Oh, okay.
She watches Snapped whenever she's tired or whenever she, when my father's not watching, you know, some god-awful Western thing that he's decided, which is a new quirk he's developed. And my mother's like, oh, these women, why do they do this? And I go,
because
it
is terrible how that portrays women as they snap
all,
and go
yeah.
crazy. It's horrible.
And she's like, well, first of all, she left the boat. She murdered him and she just jumped overboard. She should have set fire to the boat. No one would know. And she looks at me. She's like, if I had to kill your father, no one would ever know. And I was like, backed away. She's like, no one would ever find out. She's like, I'd think it out. I'd plan it for a year if I needed to.
Wow.
So I'm completely expecting my father to go missing and my mother to say, it's really a tragedy. You know. Anyway, should we talk about the show?
Yeah, let's talk about the
show. This is part two, you guys. We're going to start off. We got four couples to talk about.
There's a fish in the water. Fish noise.
And is this near their house? I was confused.
I think it is.
Is this a koi pond?
I think he has a pond.
Yeah.
A pond. Point.
A koi pond.
A pond near his house.
Now, I will say, I grew up with having to feed fish and trout and things like that.
My grandpa had fish.
Every time I bring up something from my... You talk about your grandfather.
Well, he had
it. I agree. But did you grow up like feeding them and catching them and things like that?
We didn't catch fish in his... He had only like a little one, a little small one. But we would go fishing with him all the time.
Yeah.
Either at a pond... Or he eventually got a boat and we went fishing on the lake. But then I was wanting to see what was under the cushions while the boat was going. And because I don't know, I just, oh, the cushions come up. And I pushed the cushion up and his boat license, which was hidden under the cushion, flew up out and then landed on top of the water. And it took him an hour to go find his boat license. And he never took me boating again.
That's not as sad of a story as it is you just would not do what you were told.
I didn't sit still a lot.
Yeah, I'd had a problem with that too. My mother would say, Jacob, please. Please sit still.
It's still, well.
Before I was waylaid, I was telling a story that you can actually, Natalie said, you can kill fish with sound. That's kind of true. You can deafen them, but you'd almost kind of stun them. That's what people would do. They would throw dynamite into lakes and ponds sometimes to more stunned the fish than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
It necessarily wouldn't kill them.
But they'd stun and rise to the top?
Yeah.
And then they would just...
We never did that.
Gather them up and eat them.
But I will say that little bit of a firework that he was throwing would not have done that.
No.
You would have needed more. Now, she had probably read that somewhere.
I mean, my grandpa, every time I went fishing, Matt, stop talking. You're going to scare the fish.
Well, Grandpa, I want to tell you a story about I was in T-ball.
And Matt, I don't want to hear. Be quiet.
They don't like it when you lisp either.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
I remember him coming home and my mom said, well, Daddy, how was the
fish? Fish don't speak, faggot.
It's true. She said, Daddy, how was the fishing? And he said, didn't catch a goddamn thing because he talked the whole time.
Memories.
He did keep taking me fishing, though.
That's nice.
Yeah. He'd have me sit up he'd go by the water and he'd have me sit up by the truck.
Okay.
And I'd just sit on the truck bed and swing my feet and sing songs.
I got it. I've been working on the railroad.
Shut up. Yeah, that's true.
Daddy's hands were soft when I was crying. And other late 80s and early 90s country. So basically, she's like, he's, I don't know why he's shooting off a Roman candle. It is some country shit. I guess he just enjoys it.
This episode
for them,
Mike is odd. We always knew he was odd, but I think we're seeing how odd he is.
I think he is definitely odd.
This is when the problem, when someone lives
by themselves,
so isolated,
way out there,
by themselves, not around people.
We found out in this episode, you guys, it takes him, he gets up at 3 a.m. to drive in to Seattle. Like, so he commutes an average of like at least 5 hours a day, possibly 6. What do you think Mike does on those 6 hour commutes?
We going honky tonking down to Louisiana. Going honky tonking.
I mean, honestly, I don't think he's learning Mandarin.
no, I.
You know, what does he do?
I enjoy sometimes driving. It bothers Poodle, but I enjoy driving in quiet.
Not quiet. Complete and utter silence.
But I enjoy doing that for like 15 to 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Maybe to have a little quiet time.
Yeah.
But then I need to listen to a podcast or music. I bet Mike is silent the whole time. Just like, having a conversation with
something
himself.
Something in the asylum.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. And basically, later on, we found out that he's like, we can't live in Seattle because it's too expensive. And I'm sure it is expensive, but is there any bedroom community that you can live in? But maybe his family owned that place. He owned that place. And I don't know. It seems like not a place you want to raise a family in. And I know Natalie doesn't want to live there. Deep in the wood.
And, you know, she says, she says something like, this is crazy, it's not realistic. It is a little bit of what type of life, I guess he likes his life, but your weekdays are just gone. You're just working and driving.
6 hours a day.
Although he does get off at 2:30.
Yeah, because he gets home, so that means he gets home at 5:30. So he gets there at 6, works until 2:30. So, and he gets off at 5:30, or gets home at 5:30. So he does have from 5:30 until maybe 5 hours later when he goes to bed.
Uh-huh.
Or maybe he goes to bed at 10. So he gets maybe 4 hours with her a day.
Which,
it's shitty.
Which, that sounds horrible. And guess what? A lot of people, in the United States, that's their work schedule.
Yeah.
That's their life.
I'd kind of be okay with it. I'm great with the person I'm dating is in, like, the other coast.
Yeah.
And they come back every other week. Kind of love that.
Just to refill your bank account?
Didn't say that, but that's a perk. Yeah.
But for someone who just moved to this country and doesn't know anyone... That's not really acceptable.
It's brutal.
It's brutal.
And
I have a lot of sympathy for her this episode.
And she has such cabin fever, I'm sure. She doesn't know what to do. She's cleaning obsessively because what else is there to do? Yeah. She's trying to put bleach in washer, which thinks it's softener.
Somebody said, doesn't bleach have a pretty universal smell?
It is fair. It is fair. I feel like that was production instigated. They say, why don't you use the thing up there that says, you know, that?
The thing is, and I think this is a perfect example of what Mike, you know, you said in the end of last episode when we were talking about it, you said something basically like, Mike doesn't know how to act around her. What did you say? You said something... You don't remember, do you?
No.
You were two vodkas in by that time.
I wouldn't have said that. I said he doesn't know. I don't think they know how to behave around one another because he was vacation Mike when he was in the Ukraine.
And she said that, yeah.
And I think she knows that, and this is reality Mike, and I don't think she knows how to put up with that. I don't think many of us will be able to put up with that.
And it, yeah, because Natalie says, like, in Stockton, he'll learn things about Mike, and I don't like, I don't know what to think. That's what she says. Because with the fireworks thing, I think what Mike does, I can't get my cord out of the way.
Yeah, it's obnoxious.
Mike never, he doesn't, I don't feel like really explains himself.
No.
He's just kind of like makes that face he always makes.
He has.
Well, fireworks, you know, not going to hurt the fish.
He has almost zero emotional intelligence. He just doesn't have it. Now.
And he doesn't, see, he's, I don't necessarily think he's that dumb. I think he's lazy. I don't think he wants to take the effort to extend himself to her a little bit. It's not gaslighting, but I do think that he is, I do think that he is not making an effort to explain his worldview and why he thinks these things. He's just kind of like, and I don't think it's about Natalie. I think this is the way Mike is. Mike, if you had a political conversation with him, he'd be like, well, I'm going to vote for the aliens. Well, Mike, I don't think the aliens are actually running for president. Well, I believe in aliens. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, that's the way he explains things.
I want to push back on the fact that I think I do agree with the fact that you say he's not emotionally prepared to talk to Natalie about how what he feels, but he is either he's read some kind of self-help book like what to do with your Ukrainian fiance when she arrives at your doorstep.
Somebody should write that book.
But he keeps asking how she feels. What are you thinking right now? And she can't say it because she's still in the middle of processing you guys.
Yeah.
And this is a problem in itself.
Yeah.
That she's...
It is like he read a book. He doesn't necessarily practice it.
Yeah.
But he does tell her, well, use your words, explain to me. But I this is it. This is what it kind of unlocked for me right now. And this is, and I agree with you, where he doesn't have the emotional intelligence, because this is a complex thing to do. It is, he doesn't know how to explain himself from Natalie's eyes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You have to be able to say, okay, this is where Natalie is coming from. I need to explain to her how I feel. How do I explain this to her so she could understand this? He's just like, well, always ate meat. I love meat.
I don't know if he's ever given a second thought to his own emotions. That's the thing. He's read this book or whatever, or he's gone online and he's figured out, or someone from production has said, you got to ask her how she's feeling or something.
Yeah.
But I just think he's such a loner guy who probably has no female friends.
I don't think he talks to people a lot, period.
Except for Bojangles.
Yeah.
And we know how Bojangles talks. Tell me your feelings.
If he even says that.
Yeah. And I will say, there the next day, we kind of get a lot of stuff about Natalie, and she's doing the laundry, she's cleaning, and she is trying to take pics of Aria the cat. And at one point she goes, she bites at me. I hate you.
I hate you.
You know what? A cat's going to bite you, Natalie. They all do.
That means they like you.
I know.
Half the time.
You're
lucky that cat sat on your lap.
I know. You're lucky she's not trying to steal your breath when you're asleep. So
she calls her friends, and this is where she kind of has, she basically talks to her friends about
Svetlana.
Sveta is worried, kind of as Sveta says, her adaptation process.
And
it really is that, and that's kind of where you see that, you know, Natalie says, like, she's still upset about the fish. Like, fish can die from sound, but he doesn't listen to me. He ignores me. I agree with her. I don't think he is ignoring her, but because he always does this, like, well, it's just the way it is. He says that kind of shit all the time. And it's because he doesn't, I do think there's a laziness of he doesn't want to take the effort to explain himself more. So he just kind of says, huh? And he's going to go sit on the couch and put his hand in his pants and watch TV.
Agreed. And I think, I still say these people are mismatched, because Natalie is quirky at best, and at worst, she's stark raving loony. I don't know. Sometimes I see her as fun and interesting.
Yeah.
But this whole like immediate processing thing, y'all, where you just see like her eyes just flip around her sockets, like kind of freaks me out.
Well, this is actually, we mentioned this, but we have had so many sissies come at us, female sissies, and some like highly educated and talk to us like, did you read the Instagram message you had?
Yes.
Somebody who works with people with eating disorders.
Yep.
And she was like, she has a, like,
it's classic disordered eating. Kind
of, yeah. Disordered eating. So I think that there's, which makes me sad. It makes me sad that she's with.
Because I think I said food issues, but everyone has been saying.
We just thought food issues, but people have come at us and been like,
no,
this is
even her personality, all of her personality is saying this.
Once did see email me who overcame a disorder and was like, I got triggered as fuck watching her.
Yeah. The twist that she makes, you know, as soon as she eats something, you guys.
It's
something's going on.
It's unfortunate that there's just, and again, we talked about a little bit kind of like the codependency of her and her mother.
Mm-hmm.
I think there is, like you mentioned before, we still don't know why she broke up with her first husband.
Nope.
I think there's.
It was really glossed over and almost nothing was said.
I think she has like big time shit went down in her life and trauma. And this anxiety is just, she needs to feel safe.
Yeah.
And she
control.
Feels. And it's so interesting.
Eating disorders are the ultimate control.
Yes. And that in the middle, you would think for some people, they think this would be relaxing. But when you're coming from the city, like this would make. I don't think I could relax there.
No.
I would need some, because what happens when you're just sitting in the fucking country with no one to talk to? Guess what? You start thinking about your feelings. All the bad stuff. And this shit is just like bubbling out.
Yeah.
So I feel for her.
Yeah. I mean,
she's still one oblique away from lunacy. Don't get me wrong.
This is the worst place she could be, unfortunately.
It really is. Yeah. I Mike's got to do, and I get why, I don't think Mike intentionally means to do it, but I get why some people feel like Mike is, I don't think he's gaslighting her. I don't think he's, in my opinion, I don't think he's doing anything to be mean to her.
No.
I do wonder sometimes if
he's. I don't
he's,
think he has a lot to give her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't, because I was talking to you last night. This was after the show. Believe it or not, we were still talking about the show when we finished the podcast. But I was like, is he trying to get her to break up with him? Like, is he trying to be, you know, the bad guy? Because he can't take responsibility to say, I don't want to be with you.
I think the way he responds to conflict and the way he problem solves is talks himself down from things and tries to become emotionless. It's the opposite of how she does with things. And that way they're never going to have any kind of conflict resolution, because they're speaking such different resolution languages. So I don't know. I let's talk about when they go to the falls. Snoqualmie Falls.
What I said. I said when my home falls. I couldn't remember it.
So she's very excited. They go to dinner at this restaurant. They're going to stay in a hotel. And like, I looked around. I'm like, this looks very expensive. That was my thought. And
well,
I'm not to say that.
He had debt.
Yeah. He's a spender now, you know.
He's racking up that credit card again.
Yeah. So maybe that's had something. So anyway, of course.
But she also wants that.
Yeah. I think he thinks that's what she needs to make her feel romantic.
And I actually don't think that is. I think that she just needs attention. Probably more than normal people need.
I think that's her love language. Is that kind of thing, doing nice things for her.
I actually think that there's a little bit of she wants to be put on, she wants to be worshipped a little bit.
Little princess.
Little bit, yeah.
So, anyway, the waiter comes in, one of our poor put-upon waiters in the 90 Day universe, says, can I give you a little wine or anything? And of course, as soon as she says wine, Natalie goes, Wine! No one should drink! It's all.
I drink tea.
Do you have hot tea?
Hot tea.
Because that will not destroy my body like your body will with alcohol.
And then Mike's like,
every
I have the beer. Oh wait, was this beer or was this wine?
This was wine at
this
the restaurant.
This episode was so long. There was so much of them.
Y'all, all these two-hour episodes feel like they're 4 hours to
they
me.
They are.
I can't handle long episodes. So they're asking, she says, they're asking what they want to, before she said that, she said, we have different views in life. No alcohol. I don't drink very much alcohol because yes. It's not healthy.
I do want to say, I meant to say this too. She isn't, it's not healthy. She does say on the phone with her friend, I know I've been with him for 2 years, but I just don't trust him yet. And I'm like,
yeah.
If you've been with somebody for 2 years and you don't trust them,
I'm wondering what,
I think that's good.
What aspects of Mike that she doesn't trust.
Because I don't think Mike trusts her either.
Yeah.
We see that.
I wonder what trust is to her. Like, is it complete transparency? Does she think he's hiding things from her?
I think trust is a little bit of, you know, because actually we talk about Mike's emotional intelligence. Another reason why I think Natalie has trauma is because her emotional maturity is not advanced. I honestly feel like trust is when Mike agrees with her.
Oh.
Don't you? Because that's her whole thing is that.
Or that she can
even
somehow.
Even more than validation. It's almost like she wants him to.
Trust is somehow kind of coming over to her worldview of how she eats, how they should live.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because
I could
here's
buy that.
The deal. Like, we talk about this later. Y'all, they're going to do the. If Mike does this eating challenge thing.
Which
and
is
then he goes
every,
back
a week
to,
on, a week off.
And he goes back to eating meat and doesn't do it again, she's going to get pissed.
Yeah. We had a lot of people come at us about, and Natalie, people were saying, is Natalie a vegan? Is she a pescatarian?
I'm confused. She's eating eggs. She's eating fish.
My friend, I had a friend, I'm not going to mention her, but she said, Natalie is what we call an uglytarian.
What's an ugly?
She only eats food that she thinks that is ugly, but like cows and like cute things she won't eat.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah.
But she'll eat a fish because she thinks fish are ugly?
Or they don't feel things.
Okay.
But I'm just thinking that's what she said, but that's an interesting idea.
That is an interesting idea.
But people don't eat cows because they're sweet. Or ducks because they're cute.
Which?
Or even some chickens.
Chickens are horrible!
But she will eat scallops, as we saw.
Mm-hmm.
Which did have parents. And you can be a pescatarian. I'm not judging you. You can do anything you want, you guys. I don't.
But she is judging Mike for eating meat.
She's judging him for eating meat.
That made no sense. We'll get to that. But it made no sense because he's eating meat and she's judging him and she gets scallops.
And she said someone's lives were taken.
You're
for
about
you
to
eat that.
Scallops. It made no sense.
It is the, y'all, we live in Los Angeles, the mecca of veganism and of everything. And even people here know not to say, meat is murder, you know,
although,
when you're eating.
I know some people that are vegan that do or like that will say, I don't eat that because I think it's murder. But guess what? They don't eat any animals or
right.
any byproducts.
They like, live the they walk the walk.
They walk the walk. One of my good friends who used to do AfterBuzz, Ali Kona, is a vegan, and like she walks the walk. And so I super respect
and their social
that.
And I've vegan friends and their social media. Accounts are completely dedicated
yes.
to not using any animal products.
Cody Kersley from Riverdale.
Yeah. And
who
I respect that. I respect
yeah, totally.
That kind of veganism.
It's made me think differently about it. Cody will post things and I'll go, huh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And some of it even is meant to be inciting you to kind of
yeah.
to hit you in the gut and think. But they don't eat scallops.
But the worst thing to do is to bully you as you're about to dig into a steak.
When you're eating
it's
meat.
It's not going to help. Yeah.
I'm still going back to that.
Well, technically, scallops aren't, dietarily, scallops aren't technically meat. They are seafood. But I know what you're saying. Yeah.
I mean,
it still had parents.
If she's going to say that, she needs to have a plate of fucking kale with a lemon vinaigrette on it.
I will say a sissy came at us and says, I just want you to know that veganism, the privilege in veganism is so strong in our sissy squad. Because people who...
That is a thing, yeah.
Veganism is oftentimes much more expensive. And people will often say, well, I can eat rice and beans and blah, blah, blah. That's not necessarily veganism. Well, it's not necessarily going to be as healthy.
Well, also people that... It is sad that people, even vegetarian people in lower socioeconomic status can't afford that.
Yeah.
They can't like do that. Don't have access
WIC
to food.
Benefits. Yeah, there are food deserts, yeah. You guys, that aren't going to be able to provide for veganism.
You know what,
so
I think
it
is
quite a privilege.
Not right now because of COVID, but, you know, I lived in one part of Los Angeles with this whore.
Yeah.
And it was a nicer part of, like, our grocery store was in, like, one of the nicer parts, yeah, of Los Angeles. And then I moved to an area that was still being gentrified, predominantly African-American black community. I went to the Ralph's there when I'd been to the Ralph's that was by us that we would, yeah, go to. And I was within 2.5 miles of each other. It was such a white privilege moment of seeing, oh, fuck, the difference of what is offered in this.
I can't get my escarole.
Yeah. The fact that the organic section,
yeah,
at our old grocery store was 3 aisles.
Yeah.
And here it was not even a half of 1 aisle.
Yeah.
And it really made me think, like, and I still don't know that what causes it. Why is it that way? You know, is it chicken? But some people could say, well, it's because, you know, some people might say, well, those communities don't want healthy food. No. I think if we offer the
racism.
Anyway, yeah, that's
redlining.
It. Yeah, that's what it is. That's what I think it is too.
Yeah.
So y'all, when COVID is over, drive to another, when you feel like it, when it's safe, drive to a grocery store of the same company that's out of your neighborhood and,
yeah,
see the difference.
That may not be the same socioeconomic
and
class
you realize
as your neighborhood.
How lucky you are to be able to be a vegan,
yeah,
where you live. And it's not to shame you for where
you
live.
Not at all. Not at all.
That's great. You can be a, but maybe it'll inspire you to help.
Yeah. And I want to say, when I go, I have friends who are vegans, and when I go to dinner with them, and in the old days when we would go out to dinner, and when we would go to a vegan place or a place that kind of is vegan, and you're like, oh, yeah, I love vegan food. What a privilege that is.
It is.
Yeah, because it's usually more expensive.
Oh, yeah, it's been way more. Now, there are some good restaurants here in L.A. I've heard that vegan cum is sweeter. Is that true? I feel like you would know.
You know,
I've heard that people that eat meat, it sours a little.
I dated a vegan chef for a while.
Y'all, this is reality gays. We're talking about semen.
And I never drank his semen.
Shocker, because I know, yeah, that you often drink from the cup.
Now, I was quite a receptacle in other places.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure.
I can't speak to the taste.
Oh, yeah. I thought you called it the Holy Grail. You're like Indiana Jones. Got to save my father. That made no sense.
Nope.
Hey, friend, can you go drink that? Even save me.
We just disgusted everyone. So definitely Mike is a meat eater, and he even says, we'll try it. We'll try 1 week on, 1 week off.
Again, the way he says it is so,
yeah,
sure,
it's very dismissive.
I'm easy breezy. Sure, not a big deal. And y'all, this is
he's
where
he's gonna get Wendy's every night when he's coming home.
He's gonna. I told you. I said he's gonna drive. He'll fucking eat what he wants.
Go to
when
Burger
he does
King.
Work.
Yeah.
And
totally.
That is a bit
it
of
sucks.
That's the undercurrent that I think. Oh, I just had a light bulb moment. Do you think that Mike thinks Natalie is dumb because she doesn't know English is in her first language and he's not, and she's not an American? So therefore, he's more intelligent than she is and can get away with shit.
Possibly, yeah.
I think so too. I think that he feels like he's always like pulling a fast one to her when Natalie energetically can sense that he's not there.
I think she knows. He thinks she's naive.
I think he thinks she's naive.
Yeah.
And I don't
more
think
than
she
dumb.
Is.
I think she's. He thinks
that's
she's
a better,
really naive.
That's a better. Don't throw your phone down.
It was
on the
making
ground.
Noise. It's fine.
This is why all your technology is
torn
up.
I have a
up.
Rug. So you guys, the next day, They're at the fall. She's so happy. He picks her up. They're having good times.
Yes.
It's when they are discovering new things, you guys, Natalie turns into like an excited child. She's at her most lovable.
It is a very lovable.
There's no anxiety. There's no
she forgets about the kind of anxieties
there's
of the world.
There's no that kind of darkness and that weird broodiness that she's
so see
because I'm broody as fuck, y'all. I'm not the best boyfriend.
So see well, you know what? You're fair.
I'm fair.
Unless they do something to watch out. But it's on the other side, like there is this childness to her. Like, do you think Natalie would she ever do the bills in the household?
She doesn't seem
like she could.
No, I think she could do that.
Not that she couldn't. It seems like that would stress her out.
She needs to be protected.
Yeah, there's a protection. Not an intelligence.
That's what she's looking for.
That's what she's looking for. Yeah. She wants to feel safe.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
I think
that's all she wants.
That's what most of us all want.
I don't think he can give that to her. Yeah.
Well, y'all, no one can give you your safety. Only you can give yourself that. It's like happiness. And
but you
she
know,
can't, not allowed to.
You know
can't
what
do
kind
that.
Of says safety to me?
Oh, Jesus.
Brisket nachos.
That's fair. Y'all.
That Mike orders.
If you've never had brisket nachos.
Oh, my God.
You're missing out.
And, of course, she's like not having it.
Now, this was the day after Mike promised, and she said, "Wait, brisket, what brisket?" And he says, "It's meat." And she says, "No meat, no, no, you said a week." And he's like, "No, I meant next week." And I went, "This is gaslighting."
It is.
We just saw the scene, and you were so major Mike face of,
in good faith, he could have gotten something that was non-meat or even pescatarian in good faith.
This a little bit.
This was shitty. I agree.
This is him. This is when I first thought, does he not want to be with her? Is he trying to be a dick so she'll break up with him and leave?
In some ways, I think he was needling her because
I think it was aggressive. Yeah.
In a way, I think he thinks in a really weird way that she needs that to keep the drama going.
Because again, like Natalie, I agree with that. Because again, like Natalie said, in the bedroom, they don't have any problem.
Right.
It's like Jovi and Yara. The sex is amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So when she gets the black bean burger, you guys, she eats it and she's like, "Oh, this tastes good. Are you sure it's not meat?"
That's true.
That's very much disordered eating, you guys, when they're constantly asking. Later on, they get a root beer dessert.
Oh, God, are we still on them? Oh, yeah.
She basically says, "No, I'm not drinking. This is beer. This is beer. It tastes like beer to me."
But because he needles her,
unhealthy.
She doesn't trust him.
Yeah. And that's why I can see why people would think this is gaslighting.
Well, because she also says, "What about the wedding? We need to talk about the wedding. You guys.
This is not the time.
This is quite unfair to her. You moved her out of here. She's living in butt-fucking Egypt.
Yeah.
And now you're saying, I don't know if I want to get married or not. So she's thinking, I moved out here, and I'm just going to have to go back?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I get it. I think the last thing he wants to talk about is getting married right now.
I just think Mike never wants to talk about anything adult.
I agree. I just think they could not have two more disparate ways of communicating.
Yeah, they're horrible for one another.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Should we take a break?
Please, can we move on to something happier? Jesus.
We are at 40. Like here, we should take a break.
You guys, Reality Gaze.
Reality Gaze. We'll be back in just a second.
Poodle, you know when you're listening to a song on the radio and you get the profound feeling that the song playing was written about you?
Oh, it's not a feeling. I know a lot of songs are written about me.
What?
Yeah, when they get a little bite of Poodle, it's hard to let go. There are too many songs to even elaborate on.
That's fine. You don't have to tell us about them.
You know, the song The Scientist about me?
You slept with Chris Martin?
Coldplay.
I know he's from Coldplay.
No, I slept with Coldplay. All of them. Keep up. Lionel Richie, he was stuck on me from the very beginning. Who do you think suggested Nicole should go to boarding school?
Okay, we get it. No, Poodle, I bring this up because apparently you know what it's like to have a song written just for you, but for the rest of us mere mortals.
Your words.
Imagine having the power to gift that same incredible feeling to someone you love with an original song from Songfinch that actually is written just for them. Sissies, Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and it lasts forever.
Oh, I love this idea. Flowers die, chocolates melt, but a song is eternal. Unless it's a poorly written song, then bury that thing forever.
Agreed. But I have to say, the songs from Songfinch are really fantastic. They're thoughtful, and they sound like something you would hear on the radio.
Okay, but is it hard to set up? Probably takes a lot of work, right?
Not at all. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
Well, that sounds easy enough.
I know. I just submitted a song request for something I want to use on our tour, and I cannot wait to get it back. And based on the sample recordings I heard when I was choosing the singer, it's going to be so good. I also love that they had unique add-ons that make the gift even more special, like a vinyl record of your song or a one-of-a-kind art piece made from your lyrics. Or you could even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Well, Maddie, I want to have a song written about me.
But Poodle, you just said you had.
I want more.
Hush. Sissies, whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, or an upcoming graduation or wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their songs to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime. Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us too. songfinch.com/realitygaze.
You know, Maddie, this reminds me. You know that song from the Four Tops, Can't Help Myself?
Oh, I love that song. Sugar Pie Honey Bunch.
Yep, about me. And the funny thing is, they really are Four Tops. The minute you walked in the joint, I could see you were a man of distinction, a real big spender.
Uh-oh, y'all. Poodle is singing seductive songs. That must mean we're about to go out on tour again. Ugh, sissy husbands, beware.
Whatever Poodle wants, Poodle gets. Well, you're right about one thing, Maddie. We are going out on tour, but that's not the only reason I'm positively randy. I have spring fever.
Is that something that a trip to the clinic or an antibiotic can fix?
Afraid not. When Piano Cat senses the weather getting warmer, she knows it's time to jettison those jackets and sweaters for items that show a little more skin.
Well, I hate to tell you, Poods, but you still have to cover up a little with those tour costumes. In Chicago, you were actually cited for obscenity.
Fascists! I will wear what I want and no one can stop Poodle Boudreau!
They said next time it would be $1,000 fine.
Maybe I could cover up a little bit. Leave something to the men's imaginations, but I don't want to wear too much. You know how I get hot.
Well, Piano Cat, I think it's your lucky day. Have you seen the new spring stuff at Quince? They have all the seasonal must-haves, like 100% European linen shirts from $30, performance polos, and versatile flow-knit activewear.
Ooh, I love those Quince performance polos. They're so soft and sumptuous, and they cut my body in all the right places. They're also great for when my daddy and I do country club tennis role play. Mixed doubles indeed.
Wow. As I was saying, with Quince, you can say goodbye to wasting money on clothes that it would only last one season. They've got high-quality pieces that never go out of style that you'll be wearing year after year. I love my blue cashmere hoodie. It's perfect for warm spring days and cool spring nights.
And people can't stop complimenting me on my leather cafe racer jacket that I've been wearing on our live shows. It's super chic and fitted and perfect for keeping me warm in those drafty northeastern backstage areas.
And the best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes.
I love- love that. But Maddie, I don't think that Quince has cured my spring fever. It's only made it worse. Bring on the men.
Yike. Sissies, upgrade your wardrobe. Go to quince.com/realitygaze for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/realitygaze to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/realitygaze. Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline.
Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC.
For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com.
That's Juvederm.com.
Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching.
There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring.
Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com.
That's Juvederm.com.
And we're back with Stephanie from Grand Rapids.
I just want to tell your cousin that I'm not going to give him the money to decrease their manhood. I'm going to give them money to make them feel better behind their back.
This is a really short segment, which enraged me.
Enraged
me. I need more Stephanie from Grand Rapids.
This was, y'all, I'll be honest. I do like the season.
She's my favorite person so far.
Well, I do like the season. I do like these couples, but this was a heavy episode. This episode felt like 5 hours.
I think the entire season is really heavy from what they've given us.
It's entertaining, but.
I don't even know if it's that.
Now, I like a lot
of Stephanie from Grand Rapids, very entertaining.
Stephanie's at one of her medical spas. Y'all remember they do weight loss injections and aging injections.
Skin
and
Andy.
She's there with their cousin.
She's there. Her cousin Ryan and Shannon.
Oh my gosh. Siri was listening and just brought up med spas on my watch. That's weird.
You got to go to Skin Envy.
Got to go to Skin Envy. Skin Envy. So Stephanie can't stand Face House.
Face House.
Oh, I love Face House. You go, it's like instead of being a frou-frou spa,
okay.
it's like when you get your hair cut, there's chairs. So like you're getting a facial, not the kind of facials you're used to.
Okay.
But you're getting a facial and somebody's sitting right beside you. Again, not like the facials you're used to. But
I'm
it's like
in not familiar.
Not familiar. You're in barber's chairs, basically.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So wait, no one's getting fucked?
No. Okay. I liked it.
I'm not familiar.
Not familiar. So Ryan and Shannon are there. We couldn't tell. We don't know if they're her cousins, if they're a couple. It doesn't matter. But
I could not tell if they were a couple, which, you know, more power to you.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Or maybe they are her cousins.
Well, I wanted to know because one of them really went in on her, and I thought, this would be super interesting to me if you're not the cousin by blood, but the cousin by marriage going in on her.
Yeah.
Anyway, but she helped Shannon lose a lot of weight, and now Shannon's having a baby, so Ryan is there to lose weight. Blah, blah, blah. Who fucking cares? It's an advertisement.
Ryan, who is not her fiancé, also the name of Ryan. Ryan's name is R-Y-A-N-N-E.
Yes.
So we've got her cousin Ryan, who is female, presumably, and her fiance Ryan. Ryan from Ladyville, Belize.
R-Y-A-N Ryan. So, okay.
My 27-year-old fiance from Ladyville, Belize.
Now, she tells him, she's like, look, cousins, I'm pretty sure that he's going to ask me to marry him. Because
don't get too New York-y in your accent.
And because
he needs to be more Midwestern.
He knows I want to wear my mother's ring, and I'm bringing the ring.
Yeah. And they're like, Google. So she's like, does it make you mad because he's crazy? He's 20 years younger. Is that what it is? And from a different country?
Does that make it crazy?
Yeah. And, yes. And Pam, the assistant, who's like, you know, I've known her for so many years, and I've never really seen her be this into a guy. So we're all a little concerned.
But Ryan, her cousin, not Ryan.
Ryan, her fiancé from Ladyville, Belize.
Her cousin, Ryan, is like, yes, yes, that does make you that sound crazy.
That makes us concerned. Yeah. Now, we have another piece of the puzzle here. Turns out, she says, I'm paying for the essentials and helping the parents since coronavirus for $500 or $1,300 a month. So he's paying their rent.
That's a big jump.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money, but it's also a big jump.
Yeah. A big range.
Big range, yes.
I agree.
Yes.
Y'all, this is a huge red flag. Anytime you are completely financially responsible for someone.
Now we know why mom talks to her.
There is no equal playing field.
Unfortunately.
And you kind of need those for a relationship, unfortunately. It's almost impossible to completely subsidize financially someone you're in a relationship with.
You have to
really, really talk with them.
Yeah, because I've been in a relationship where the other was financially helping the other one. And the relationship didn't get better until we both were financially responsible and both financially able to contribute. Yeah. It does make a difference.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm not saying I would not want a man to pay for everything I had.
This is what we would be doing in a studio right now. But are we recording, by the way? We are.
I will say that was one of the reasons that,
it's hot
that,
in here.
That dating wealthier men was a problem for me. Even in my 20s when...
Here's the deal with Poodle.
Now, if I could kill them, it would be fine.
Poodle wants to be bought, but he can't be bought.
I can't be bought.
Boy,
That is a conundrum. You have just read me for filth, and I'm not really happy about it.
That is why... Oh, God! What's happening? My sweater's caught my cord. That's why I'm dealing with this shit right now instead of an air-conditioned studio on Vine Boulevard.
Well, I think it's Vine Street. It's COVID anyway, so we'd be here anyway, bitch.
No, we'd rent out a private, and if you had a rich husband, we'd have it cleaned.
I guess
they'd all be wearing masks.
If I had a rich husband, he'd be dead in a year.
If I had a rich husband, he'd be dead.
Y'all, mark my words. Actually, we're going to take all these podcasts down if I marry a rich husband.
Because oh, yeah.
They'll know what I'm going to do.
Y'all, if the podcast suddenly goes away...
It's because I married well.
Check the New York Times because Poodle's going to have a wedding announcement.
Jake Anthony, 40, married Chester Tomlinson IV, 85.
85.
They're both excited to spend the rest of their lives together.
Exactly.
However long that may be.
In attendance, his business partner, Matthew Marr, a.k.a. known as Catman because of his plastic surgery, and his mother, Poodle, who was quoted as saying, does anyone object to this wedding? And suddenly, in the middle of St. Patrick's Cathedral, we heard a caw.
That was her only objection. I've had her muscled for the occasion.
Exactly.
You're right. There would be four people at that wedding because I would allow any of his family. I would have banned them.
Banned them.
I would have sent a decoy wedding. They would have gone somewhere else. So then I get power of attorney and we get that fixed.
So he got it. But then she said, well, he got a job at a resort.
He got a job at the resort. And but I should tell you, I should tell you so you don't think less of him. I had a friend there and his friend said, I'll hire him, but only if you'll pay his wages. So I've been paying him.
So she pays for his job. We don't know if that's in addition to the extra money she gives as well.
I think it is.
I think it is, too.
So you guys.
Ryan, so here's what's fucked up about this even more. She's not telling him this because she wants, She doesn't want to emasculate him.
Self-esteem. Good for self-esteem. I need more of this person.
I cannot. Because we're going to see them. Right, there's clips of them together, right?
Yeah.
I can't wait for them to be together.
This is the bright spot of the season for me. Strangely enough, Julia and Brandon, I actually enjoyed Julia more than any of Brandon and Brandon's family, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
I really love Julia. I can't stand Andrew and Amira's storyline. I hate it. I'm glad we didn't have to deal with it because it just saddens me.
I feel sorry for Amira.
Yeah.
Y'all, for all we know, she's still detained in Mexico City right now.
And I will say, Rebecca and Ziad make me hopeful, but I think we're going to get a lot of stress with them. Just because
I think we're gonna get fake drama with them.
Maybe nothing's that interesting.
Y'all, he got a fucking HVAC certification and can get a job.
He's fine.
Like, yeah.
Let's go ahead and talk about another couple that most of the time gives me nothing but hives, and that is Jovi and Yara.
This was
bleak.
This was bleak. This was sad. Yeah. It was just
so. Some of you have said that Yara reminds you of Stacey Keenan from My Two Dads, and she totally does.
She totally, totally does.
I just wanted to bring that up because we haven't brought it up yet.
That's who it is.
Stacey Keenan.
It's like, what's her name? We finally realized it's from Game of Thrones.
Missandei.
Missandei, yeah.
It was Amy, from Amy and Danny. So,
they get a white rug.
From Amazon.
Amazon. Y'all, it's way too small for the room.
I thought so, too.
I used to do that, too. Mistake. You want y'all, two things about a rug. I'm going to give you some advice.
It should fit almost your entire room.
Entire room. And Poodle fought me on this, and then he did it, and he was like,
I agree with you. You were right.
A rug pad. Get a rug pad underneath your rug.
Yeah, because it's going to slide. Especially in that kind of loft space they're in. That things are going to slide all
and
around.
And a lot of people are like, oh, this rug feels nice. It's often the rug pad, not the rug.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I will say a lot of her taste is quite Olga-esque, like my cousin Olga.
Yes.
It's very white.
She wants
very,
white. She wants things, but I guess, like, does she, I don't know what it looks like where she's from, but does she want it to look like, I know that when we saw, she's from the Ukraine, right?
Yeah.
Well, when we saw, what's her name?
Lana,
when you, like we saw, the Ukraine is just older. It's not, there's not a lot of new things there.
I think
maybe that's why.
I think her taste is very luxe.
Yeah.
Like, she likes things that look really expensive. Even though that rug wasn't expensive, it looked expensive.
Yeah.
And I think that's the most important thing for her.
She's so happy that Jovi's like, what else do you want? And she just kind of spews this litany. And I went, oh,
I want the $1 million. I want the penthouse.
I want the $27 million
penthouse. Kardashians as friends. I went, oh.
Oh, y'all.
Keep that to yourself, honey.
If Will Smith showed up as the genie in this moment, he'd say, girl, you crazy. Girl, you crazy.
So I want to talk about another huge point which threw me when she said, take off your shoes. It's a white rug. And he's like, what do you mean take off my shoes? Take off your shoes in the house. This is a thing for me. I know I made you do it. You weren't. I had to kind of make you do it.
You didn't make me do it.
But it wasn't normal for you to take your shoes off when you came in my house.
My grandma Hazel, we'd have to take our shoes off in her house.
Yeah, but I make people do that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's a European thing, like they said. And there are parts of America where you don't take your shoes off in
and
the house.
When we lived together as roommates, we didn't.
I always took my shoes off.
But you never talked about wanting to take your shoes off. I would have supported that rule.
I made fun of you for keeping your shoes on. I just don't remember it.
No, yeah. I don't remember that.
But I could not say that because it wasn't exactly my place. You could have
brought that up. That wouldn't have bothered me at all.
I think I had more bigger fish to fry.
So did I.
Boy, the days
that I made him clean out his music room.
But yeah, I just
it
kind
was
of...
like. Getting a kid, it was like giving a fat kid to give up his last piece of chocolate to torture him.
It was
to do
hard.
That.
We're
better for each other.
We are. So She basically tells him, sorry, New Orleans people, I do not like this city.
And she does say, people pee on the street, you wear your shoes. And he's Jovi like, says, people, nobody pees on the street here. And I wanted to say,
you're a liar. You've never...
I've peed on the street in New Orleans. Tell me you haven't.
It smells like piss.
Tell me you haven't, though.
I have.
Yeah, I know.
It's everyone who's ever been to New Orleans knew he was a liar.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, when he said that.
Yeah.
And just because he's never peed on the streets, which he had. No, he probably just waits till he gets home and pisses himself in his bed.
Wow, that was.
Well, come on. Jovi passes out every night.
He probably passes out a lot.
Yeah.
She does call it a nasty village.
You know, I will say she's not. I respect her way of communication. She's probably not the most political person in the world. She's probably not the most lovable at the beginning.
She's not the most lovable. She also is not.
Definitely from the Poodle Sky Academy.
She is. She also is. She's very self-involved.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
So is he, though.
Yes. Yeah. I think. Oh, y'all.
They're kind of made for one another
in a
way.
In a weird way. Although I think she's way better than him.
Oh, like, totally.
I think he's a piece of shit. You should know, anytime we dig at Yara, it's like Yara is still like a 7, and Joey's a fucking 1.
He's the shittiest person on this season.
Yeah, he is.
Especially for the men.
He did look more handsome with some stubble.
I agree. His hair is
bounced out
abominable.
His freakish mouth.
Abominable. It's not all great. A little product would go a long way.
Yeah.
But he's such a shitty person on the inside. He's always demeaning her.
Always. Always.
Yeah. So, so they're going out, and she's, of course, she's trying to do a selfie. She's like, oh, I look so fucking fat. So she's always obsessed with her weight. Like,
she looks beautiful. She looks fine.
She's gorgeous.
He gets her the new phone, and she's like, You're now the best boyfriend of the world.
Now, this is what's transactional, and I think that's kind of how he relates to her. That's what he can understand that.
Because he's transactional. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They're out to dinner. And
they're going to have a romantic dinner because he's leaving the next
day.
He's
leaving, and he's like, my mom is going to text you in a couple days. And she's like, okay, great. I'm not really looking to be friends with your mom. I want friends my age. And then he starts talking about a family. And she said, do you think you're ready for kids? And
like with your schedule, 4 weeks off, 4 weeks on. And Jovi's like, well, my mom did that and that was fine. My mom had 4 weeks. My dad did this, but he's forgetting that. His mother's from the United States.
Where she can be taken care of by all of her relatives.
Her mother.
And Yara has a support system.
Fucking no one out here.
So
she's all by herself.
This is not ideal for Yara to start a family right now.
It's interesting because earlier they... I'm not just
4 weeks alone.
I'm not just saying this to like pat myself on the... Really, earlier when we were watching this and they were just... I was like, why are they not... I think their sex is great, but I was kind of asking myself, why are they together? And they were always going at each other, and I thought, there's something deeper about this, like this. And so it kind of got revealed this episode. But I even thought, I'm glad that it came, I didn't expect all of her resentment and deep feelings to come up because we see it
and
play
out. And I
think
we know why. And I want to just make a point here, you guys, a huge kind of bomb was dropped on this episode that... We had already heard that he left her in Europe, in Albania or something like that, when she
didn't have a passport.
Yeah, and that's what we heard. We didn't know that was during the miscarriage.
She had a miscarriage.
That she had. Now, look,
she had to have an operation in Albania.
I want to take care of something and just talk about something that on the second episode where these two were introduced, we were kind of the way I was looking at all of this, and I'm like, this is really strange. They're talking about this kind of miscarriage, and they're all kind of glossing over it. And I usually watch the show talking to two friends who are both female, And we were saying, boy, this... So he basically kind of married her anyway after the miscarriage. He's like, well, I might as well. I'm already in too deep. And said something pretty awful that we kind of commented on.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But the two female friends I was talking to at the time said, you know, there was never a baby. Mm-hmm. That no one goes scuba diving like that.
Because they were
that.
Showing the scuba diving picture. Basically,
and
they
the
said
editing was happening at the same time.
She was pregnant.
And
then
I said on the podcast that I didn't think there was a baby. And I will say that was wrong of me, and I should have never said that. It was wrong. It was way over my way out of bounds for me to even say that and to even speculate that, especially on the podcast.
I
get that. But I just want to say that was wrong of me to speculate, because that's not any of my business to speculate and to not believe a woman who said she's had a miscarriage.
Agreed. And I think the show manipulated us, though, into not as an excuse, but
yeah.
This was all over Reddit and Twitter. It was trending that
right.
that people.
But
so
I,
it wasn't just you.
I know, but I want to apologize.
And I know, as a man, you should be more.
And but I even though I saw it on Reddit and I saw it on Twitter, I want to apologize for saying it. And because I now believe she, from seeing her reaction, there's no doubt in my mind she had a miscarriage.
No doubt, and I think that.
I'm kind of sick for saying it. So I'm sick to my stomach for saying it.
Well, but I would feel sick too. And this is what y'all, we have to remember that it's quote unquote real life, but it's also a reality show. For instance, it's like,
yep.
you know, the scene where Mike goes and talks to Natalie. Some people pointed out she's wearing a completely different outfit, and they
right.
edited it as it just happened. So
right.
I think that they did that. He said about being pregnant, and they immediately show a picture of her scuba diving.
Right.
And that we had so many women,
I mean,
listeners
and
that
I'm not I'm not going to explain myself or cast blame on any listeners who told me that.
No.
But when I said that, I had tons of people who said, yeah, you're right. There's no way. And I felt bad about it as soon as I said it.
You know what I think part of me feels bad about, because I thought about that too, is that I feel a little like they edited it that way and they played off our American privilege of thinking that everybody from Ukraine or Russia is going to take advantage of somebody.
Yeah.
And
I will say the first episode...
TLC played off of
yeah,
that, I mean.
The Aura. Yara got a really nasty edit.
She
as
did.
As being a sugar baby who was...
She really came off
yeah.
as this...
And I don't see that. I don't say that anymore.
We don't see that anymore.
It's so... Because I was...
I think she wants a life in the United States. And I do think... I don't know if she loves Jovi. I think she wants to love Jovi.
Yeah.
I don't know if she does.
I was talking...
I think she might have taken a class, too, at Poodle...
the Olga Fulskaya
yeah.
Institute for girls who want rich men marry them.
Yes.
I was talking to Allie from 90 Gay Slumber Party. Mm-hmm. And so, because sometimes we... And she had said a similar thing. And I was talking about it, and... We were both kind of commiserating about it that
yeah,
we were sad.
She felt
it.
Sick about it. Yeah.
So, you know,
well,
I'm sorry I said it, and it's not something I want to like I'm not going to wade into that again.
Well, so here's the deal. The best thing in life is to take responsibility for your words and your actions, no matter what
yep.
side you're on, and move on from it. It's the people that get stuck in their, whatever
yeah.
it is that are really yeah. having problems
and
in life.
And I acknowledge
so
my privilege as a male to be able to even say anything, because I will never experience anything like that.
But again,
especially as a gay guy.
We got to remember, fucking Matt Sharp, they edit this with American privilege.
Yeah.
It's the same thing as like I felt a little sick when I found out Ari fought so much not to get in the car and drive. And then they had a car accident on the way there, and TLC never showed it.
Yeah.
That was gross. So anyway, y'all, you always have to remember that, yes, we're responsible for our own thoughts and whatever we say, but also we're being manipulated here.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But basically, that's kind of all I wanted to say there.
It was gut-wrenching, though, to see her cry.
Yeah, it was really, and
this is a deeper thing that I was like, what is it? It's that it's not about her not feeling comfortable in New Orleans. It is that at the base of it, she does not trust him because she thinks, whether he meant to or not,
he left her to have an
operation when she was miscarrying their baby.
Yeah, and because he needed to go work.
I'm telling you now, Jovi is not the person that's going to... The thing that Jovi does that's so terrible...
He never needs to be a father, ever.
Well, when Yara says, Jovi, this is upsetting, he never... Even in that moment, he never... He should have stopped and said, man,
yep.
I bet that was horrible for you. I can't imagine what you were going through.
I don't think he has that chip in him.
No, it's just like, wait, no, you don't understand. Nothing can be his fault. That's what
he said it's not my fault. He said that.
That's the difference of what you just did of saying, I regret that I said something. Yep. I'm sorry. I apologize. That to me is a true human, where Jovi will never do that. That's an adult.
Well,
and he will never do that.
And he's been enabled to a fault to think he's a son and he's a man, and men have that privilege in Southern culture.
Wow.
It's one of the reasons he's the shittiest person on the season, you guys.
And he's definitely not that good in bed.
No, and she said something in her Instagram on having a big dick. If anything, it's girthy. It is not big.
Wait. Well, hold on. Wait. Stop the press. Who is that?
Yara,
Vicky Vale. I did not know this.
Yara said someone did an AMA. Yara did an AMA, and they asked her, "Does Jovi have a big eggplant?" And she's like, "Yes. Why do you think I flew from Russia?" She's in her comedy hour. She's doing the Yaki Smirnoff comedy hour. But, y'all, it's not big. It may be girthy, but that's all it is.
I don't buy it.
Yeah.
I've been wrong before, though.
Maybe she has slender walls.
Boy, I remember once this little, very short guy I got with. Oh, man. Boy, he pulled it down, and I went, that's not coming near me.
Yeah.
It sometimes happens.
Basically, later on, he's like, sorry, what can I tell you? You know, I got to go. And, boy, he really does lack a lot of empathy.
It really is. And you know what? I bet that Jovi does have feelings about losing his own baby.
Oh, totally.
But he'll never be able to go there or experience that.
Yeah.
Because for a lot of different reasons.
Yeah.
But it's... I think that's where she... I think if he just validated her hurt and met her where... And tried to meet her where that hurt is with his own vulnerability,
yeah,
so much of this relationship would be healed.
I agree with that, but I think straight men have to be educated to do that. Society will not teach you to validate a woman's emotions.
It's getting better. Mothers raising young boys and young girls right now, or young people, are the way they're teaching kindness and vulnerability.
Culture will not teach you.
Yeah.
Your parents have to teach you.
This is also in the Deep South.
Yes. And it's still very patriarchal, you guys.
And we don't know what's happened or what's with his dad.
I don't know.
Because a lot of sons learn their emotional
from their
language
fathers.
From their the same-sex parents.
Fathers and sons.
So...
From anyway. Working Fathers and Sons. Do you know the song?
We cut it when I did it. It was a girls' camp. We're not going to do Fathers and Sons. It was all girls' cast. No.
Let's talk about I'm done with them.
And I just want to say the last thing Jovi says is, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have brought this up. You guys,
he's so
if
awful.
Someone's upset and
he's
you say,
so
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have brought this up. Now, you could say, I'm sorry I brought this up and that it's so painful for you. But basically, he just said, I don't want to talk about this.
And anyway, his underwater robot, who looks like Rosie from the Jetsons, says, you are a jerk.
Jerk.
I need to go carry the oil from the other module.
Yes.
You're an asshole.
Can we talk about two people we like?
Rebecca.
So much. I love them so much.
So much.
You said this earlier, and I think you're exactly right. This is going to be a season of unnecessary created drama for them.
I'm telling you, Rebecca and Zied have their shit together.
Yeah.
Rebecca manages a chicken place. She knows what to do.
So
that's hard.
Rebecca, Zied hasn't seen Rebecca in a year, and I wrote down, what the fuck is she doing using a shopping cart moving into this loft?
I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's happening.
I was like, did you just find that outside and you just piled your shit in it?
This is the middle of COVID. You just can't touch a random shopping cart.
I don't know. I was very confused. And I've got to say, what do you think about loft spaces like this one? I want to hear opinions.
I want to clarify for people that a lot of people still don't watch the show. They just listen to us.
Yeah.
So Rebecca is not going to move in with her daughter and her daughter.
Yes, I should say that. Yeah, right.
Good move, Rebecca.
Smart.
Good. She's moving into this loft space that she...
Kind of like open floor plan loft space. Probably like a former bank. A lot of them are.
I think it's fine to live in a loft. I think they're pretty. I think there would be a cool, I don't want to live like downtown, but some of those buildings like in the arts district that are only like 3 or 4 stories high, not the super high, like lofts. I think those would be cool to live in. I just don't want to have to go downtown and live.
Yeah, I just find them so cold. I find the marble and the high ceilings cold. I don't know, and the kind of one room aspect of it.
I
think I've been in a lot of lofts downtown. Let's just say visiting friends.
Yeah, Maybe it felt cold because you couldn't say your name or hi. They just open the little password, please.
I think
pickle.
The issue is
I like high ceilings. Those actually,
I you know what, I shouldn't have said high ceilings. That's not what bothers me as much. It's the kind of organization of space and how you have to in a loft space. You have to work really hard at creating coziness.
You know why? Probably you. Sorry, my notes fell off. I had to put them on my phone. You know why probably you get intimidated by loft space, which
I'm not intimidated by them. I don't like them.
But a little bit, too, is that Poodle and I are not decorators.
I'm not.
Like, our houses look cute, but we do not have that gay decorating.
No.
So I do agree with you that I like the openness and the high ceilings and all. And sometimes lofts have really cool lighting. I would have to have somebody decorate it.
You have to work hard at it.
I could not do it. If I lived, it would be like a cold one-room echo chamber and feel like a cave.
Yeah.
I would need someone
have
to decorate.
I love
a brick wall.
You have to work hard. You have to set off rooms. Y'all come at us with your loft spaces that you have done impeccably.
Yes.
Because I want to see that.
I think they
are hard. I think they're very difficult to make feel homey.
The ones that look homey are very expensive.
I agree with that.
But the big windows and all that, there's something, I do love that. I love that.
I agree. But it in a way, it feels like an artist studio, and that's not where you live.
No, I get that. I get that.
But
there's also something cool that it's a space. The possibilities are endless.
I totally agree. And
you could set up your sling anywhere in a house in a loft.
And part of me loves the idea of a loft space because I love the kind of endless possibility idea. But like, it's very intimidating for me.
No, it would be for me too to decorate. Yeah.
Because I'm in a 1910 kind of craftsman-ish. What do you call this?
This was
Pueblo.
I don't know what it, because I'm in the same type. But I don't know what our apartment, the style's called. It's just like stucco. It's not art.
you're not.
We don't know.
You're not selling it.
Again, we don't have that gay gene, y'all. Now.
Yeah.
This is what I mean by there's not a lot of drama, this couple. The big drama is Rebecca's lived in this loft before, in this building. Not
with
this
her
loft, but this building.
Ex.
With her ex from Morocco.
But, Yes, but she's not living in the same apartment. So who the fuck cares?
We don't think so. But she's worried about what Ziad's going to say. Because she said they haven't really talked about her ex and he doesn't like it.
Then don't tell him. It is so not a big deal.
I'm telling you, there's nothing. They've got their shit together.
Yeah. So he is coming tomorrow, you guys. And the loft space, she's got like her, of course, her bedroom. And of course, the mattress is on the floor. And of course, the blanket has his face on it. So does like the cup next to things. This is Rebecca's failing, you guys. I don't know if she thinks it's cute. It just comes off as creepy to almost everyone else.
A little.
And I think I wrote down. I think Rebecca said,
just go to bed that afternoon. You ought to get a comforter.
I know. I think I said on Facebook or on Instagram today, I'm surprised bitch doesn't have his entire face tattooed between her boobs.
Maybe. So much. I always
so
there.
Much boobs.
I always there. Y'all, because Zied is a boob man.
He is.
Oh, for sure.
So in Tunisia,
I just want to say there's this touching thing where Rebecca is sitting on the bed and like it's hitting her that this is actually happening. She gets emotional and starts to cry. And Poodle screamed out, "Oh, she loves him."
I did. Y'all, I'm such a fucking bitch when it comes to emotions. I know I may not seem like it. I get moved very easily. My emotions are kind of all on the surface anyway. Good or bad, vengeful or vulnerable, they're all right there.
I've known that to be true.
And yours are all tamped down very deep.
Don't know what you mean.
And that seems like it would be the opposite, but it's actually not true. It's
that's fair.
I'm completely the vulnerable, mushy one. And you're the stone cold bitch. Yeah.
Bitch.
It's totally true.
So Ziad is basically packed. There's not really a plot that much happens except for he's just packing in Tunisia. We see his mom, we see his dad, we see his sister.
His mom's got these Warby Parkers on. It's so cute.
His parents, again, we said this actually in their season, of his parents are some of the most normal parents.
Right.
And they're just normal parents that are sad their son's
Even
leaving.
Even his sister's passive-aggressive, but she's kind of normal.
She's normal passive-aggressive.
Comparatively.
Yeah, she's just like your Aunt Connie. She's lovable.
Ziad's friends who takes him to the airport are hot.
I turned to Poo and I said, are Tunisian men all hot?
This would be a great Tim Tales scene
with just me and these guys. Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Just not a lot of talking. Just get to the fucking.
Yeah. Tiptoe through. Stick it in. So they're at the airport, and they all
say
goodbye.
You know what Tim Tales is? You can Google it, but don't do it at work.
They should give us a fee at this point. VM, how do you say sister?
VM, I believe.
VM, she said, I told him it's not okay that he's leaving. I don't like it, but it's his business.
Yeah.
And he is.
Thank you. What a wonderful set of parents.
Really, they seem like such a good. And Zia says, "I love my family so much.
So much.
They mean everything in my life. I am so nervous."
Oh, him and that
haircut.
He looks
good though. Getting
on that
plane.
I'm like touching myself looking at him.
Y'all, he got his hair fixed. He's got his little glasses.
He's got his like. What's his name? The serial killer from Milwaukee.
Okay, son of Sam.
No, Jeffrey Dahmer. He's got his Jeffrey Dahmer glasses.
No, I don't know about that.
But in a trendy way.
No, I think he looks nice. I think he looks handsome. I do remember I lived with my friend. This is when I lived in Texas. And I lived with our friend Karen. And she was watching like a murder thing. But I didn't know what it was. I just came home. And I was walking to the kitchen. I grabbed a Dr. Pepper. And I was walking back, and there was a guy on the TV. And I said, "Ooh, that guy's hot. I'd fuck him." And Karen looked at me. She went, "That's Jeffrey Dahmer." And I went, "I don't make good choices."
Jeffrey Dahmer, in certain
a lot of those serial killers were good looking.
Ted Bundy was gorgeous.
They, because that was part of the thing. They lured
you in.
We're
getting into a weird area.
And that's not, you know what? If you want to listen to murder, listen to a date with Dateline.
Or half the internet.
Or half
the podcasts that are out there.
Y'all should listen to a date with Dateline. They're
wonderful.
Yes, yes, yes. So, anyway, y'all. Is that the show?
Yes, that's the show.
That's the show. Y'all, we don't have any sissy spotlights this week. We're still doing that.
Y'all, but we're going to give you We're going to give you a topic. Talk amongst yourselves.
Talk amongst yourselves. The Roman Catholic Church is neither Roman nor Catholic. Discuss.
We're not. That's not what we're going to ask. We're going to say, what's the new year about for you?
What's the new year about for you?
What resolution do you have? What was your shittiest New Year's? Tell us about what you want in this next year.
So if you're in the Patreon at the top tier, you have that number. We'll send that out again. And give us a call and leave a voicemail.
We want to hear you go off.
And you know what? If you call us and say, I don't give a fuck about the New Year. I want to talk about my husband eating Doritos in bed. That's fine, too.
Pop off.
Pop off.
Pop off, hoes.
Do that, hoes.
So we want to hear from you, and if you we'll send that number out again. Anything New Year related, whether it's like your best New Year's, what you want for the New Year's, what you're tired of hearing people talk about for the New Year's,
whatever.
What you want us to do in the New Year's, we may or may not do it.
Anyway, you know, you can tell us if you want. We're going to do what we want.
Exactly.
That's
what we want.
What we want.
It's what I want.
What I want.
We're going to do what I want.
And we're not going to recap it, but we did. We should just do a little, like, just 2 second final thoughts, because everybody's asking us, what did you think of the premiere Drag Race?
Because
we
hated,
are reality gays. We can
I
talk about
hated
other.
The new format.
It was,
hated it.
I didn't care. I
hated it.
I like some of the queens.
Hated it.
Because the queens, a lot of the queens aren't polished this season, and I like that. It reminds me of earlier seasons.
Yeah,
but the format was slow.
I just can't.
It was slow.
I know what you're saying, but it's hard to have a queen like Aquaria and then go back to one who was wearing that white blazer. I just can't.
I kind of respect
that. She needs help.
It's kind of like Drag Race Quarantine Edition.
She was wearing a white blazer and white hot pants that you could have bought at $5.99 Half Fashion.
They just picked everybody up from the 99 cent store there. They're like, you want to be a contestant? You want to be a contestant? I here's the deal, though.
And I thought the lip sync winners were arbitrary. I really did.
I thought, too. It didn't make sense. The people that actually won the lip sync didn't, for the most part.
That's a problem.
I do think it'll get better because it's Drag Race. I think it's going to get... They try to do something... I respect that they try to do something new. Although, you will say, Project Runway does the same thing every season. And you know what? Project Runway is still good.
I feel like... I felt desperation here. And I will say, I know one queen personally. And the fact that she lost a lip sync makes no sense at all.
Oh, God.
And I don't
this
know
is why
her.
We can't.
I don't. I don't.
Why we can't do Drag Race because she name drops the entire.
And I don't know.
Episode.
I don't know her because I fucked her. I know her because we fucked the same people.
It's either or with Poodle. It's either or.
We moved in the same circles. As
they
it
fucked
were.
In the same circles, but not in a circle church.
Not in a circle.
No, but a metaphor.
Not a daisy chain.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Carl, what's a daisy chain? Call the florist. Will you ask him? Shooter, go get my address book.
go call Paul the florist.
Go call Paul the florist.
I think that's the show.
That is the show. Y'all.
That
is our first kind of two episodes of Reality Games.
This is, I'm excited.
Well, just to get to talk about Drag Race, I don't feel like we have to talk just about 90 Day. We can
talk about any reality shows.
Anything.
We don't do as well with scripted TV, I've got to say. Even
we
though
don't.
We did Holiday, but who knows? Maybe it'll be because scripted TV is also reality in a way.
I do want to tell some of you, you keep coming at us and you're like, I'm so excited for Bitchcraft to come back. Our podcast about Sabrina.
Suck it.
Y'all.
It was so bad last season, y'all. We were demoralized.
Bitchcraft is fun while it happened. And as I said, if there's a gay kiss between Gavin Leatherwood and Luke Cook, I'd watch it.
Guess
what?
It didn't happen.
So Sabrina disappointed us. We're not going to cover it. I'm sorry.
I may watch the season, and I might talk about it on social media.
I'm not. But follow Poodle at Jake It or Fake It. You can follow me at The Matt Mar.
Yeah.
And you can follow us on Twitter at Reality Gaze Pod.
Reality Gaze Pod on Twitter and Reality Gaze Podcast on Instagram.
On Instagram. And you can go to the website with a merch store and everything at realitygazepodcast.com. A little tip for you. If you go to realitygaze.com,
it's porn.
It's gay porn. So y'all, don't go to that website.
Y'all, just.
It's old gay porn, too.
Take a moment to really just picture the crushing irony of that.
I'm like, Poodle, we're going to get realitygaze.com. Okay.
We were foiled by gay porn.
Something
we love more than anything in the world.
It's true. I just heard Poodle yell, no.
What an existential crisis.
What, boy?
How can I be mad at gay porn?
Y'all, if you don't think God is a little gay and has a fucking sense of humor, then you're wrong.
God is a woman who has it out for us.
Oh, for sure. And it's a funny, funny bitch.
Yeah.
That's God. So, y'all, that's the show. We appreciate you very much. Hey, with the new name change.
We're going to get some confusion in the marketplace.
With the new art. One of the best things, if you've never done this before, we implore you, if you could leave a 5-star review,
yep.
And even if you don't know what to write, just write.
Keep going, Queens. And honestly, this...
But it helps. If you write something, it really helps the Apple Podcast reviews.
I promise you, we've got close to almost 3,000 reviews now, and if we had...
We're up just over 3,000
yeah,
now.
Yeah, if you guys, if we had even 10% more of our listeners leave...
It would kind of
bump
us up again and help us be seen in the charts and help us be discovered and just help grow the show, which is what we want to do. So that's kind of all we can do right now.
Because we're changing our name and we're a little afraid we're going to get swept under the rug.
Yeah, we worry about that. So because we're really just like, if Poodle and I don't get the chance to do live shows and go out and meet y'all, I'm going to die a sad man.
I'll be honest. That's
all I want to do.
That has been keeping me going. The entire time.
This point.
Because y'all, we are show ponies who need to perform for you.
It really is. I cannot wait to just sing our theme song and watch people's faces just and make them happy. That's all I want to do. And then cut to 2 a.m, Poodle, where are you? And I have to pull Jake
I'm
out.
I'm fucking somebody's husband who is at the show. Y'all, don't bring your husbands to the show.
Carl, you in the bathroom? Carl!
Leave your husbands at home.
Poodle will fuck your Carl. Anyway, y'all, put that on some merch. Poodle will fuck
your
Carl.
If you go to a meet and greet, watch your husband, because I'm going to be handsy with him.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
Poodle, it's a meat, M-A-A-T, M-E-A-T meat. Anyway, y'all, that's the show. Thanks again. We call these people Lonely Hearts, Poodle, because aren't we all just Lonely Hearts looking for love and all the wrong, very lost, long places?
Oh, God. We are. And hold on. Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
No, we did not ask.
No. Y'all. Dee Dee Rivette's back with another ad.
You know, I'm glad I told you about this at the very end. Thank you for letting me. I'm still staying a little while. I was going to Hollywood Walk of Fame this evening.
Okay.
I'm an Uber driver whose name was Ahmed.
Okay.
He's definitely an Arab.
There's nothing wrong with that, Dee Dee.
You didn't smell him. It was a problem.
All right.
So, and I just need to say, we got 2-for-1 at Over the Fence.
No, this is not for your ad. No.
No, I'll be 10 seconds. At Over the Fence, we got 2-for-1 collectible Jesus Bible verse mugs.
Jesus, what? What is a Jesus Bible verse mug?
It's like when Jesus said, Jesus wept. And that's
like you put coffee in it and it heats up and you see Jesus crying.
And you see Jesus' face.
And he's crying.
Are you asking questions about my Lord and Savior?
No, about your merch.
Can I tell you about the gospel of Jesus Christ?
You guys, if you want to talk to us later about something besides the gospel of Jesus Christ.
I'm going to go away. It's CD Rivette here. I'll see you at Over the Fence thing. You come and meet me there. Bye-bye.
Call us. We'll be right back.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.